Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Do you need heavy equipment or farm equipment? Look no further than Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel. We have a wide selection of new and used equipment from many top brands. We also offer parts, service, and rentals. Whether you're a contractor, farmer, or just need help around the house, we have what you need. Southern Equipment is your one-stop shop for all farm and heavy equipment. Visit us at 5237 Highway 84 West and southernequipparts.com or call 601-651-4555.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. New week of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Glad you're with us. Full crew with you today. Bob, Kelly, and Luke. We're at the Southern Bancorp Studios, Hattiesburg, and Laurel. We're glad you're with us. Opening segment sponsored as it is every day by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Had a lot of that this weekend. It was delicious. And we think you'll have the same opinion the next time you order Dickey's Catering or take your family for a great meal. Let's get right to it. Monday, head baseball coach Christian Ostrander on the show. Golden Eagles with a busy week. 5 games, go 4-1. Thrilling weekend series against a really good Missouri State baseball team. Great college baseball here in Hattiesburg. But before we get to that, Coach, welcome to the show. And if you don't mind, let's talk for just a moment about your Wednesday night game. A nice 15-10 win over UNO. And all cylinders kind of clicking, but what really jumped out at me, Coach, in that midweek game was the job of reliever Chase Adams, who retired all 10 batters he faced with 4 strikeouts to garner the win and help propel your guys to a midweek win.
Yeah, that was a great win for us on the road, and it's never easy, you know, especially with a new team and a lot of first timers, you know, getting on the road. So anyway, we were very proud of that win, and never been an easy place for us to play down there. And that game, I thought the offense really came alive, and then, you know, and we had some really good pitching performances in certain areas and some that weren't great. And, the offense picked us up and we were able to prevail. But no, Chase Adams had a really good night that night and obviously carried it over this weekend. So it was good to see.
Yeah, 14 strikeouts with 8 different pitchers. That's a Christian Ostrander baseball team right there. And then here comes Missouri State. And before we get into the specifics of the game, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought they were a high-caliber baseball team. And I think you're going to look down at the end of the year, fans are going to see that Missouri State's right in the thick of things in the regional look.
I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, you know, we got a ton of respect for that program. They've got history and they got tradition just like us and stuff. So we knew it was going to be a dogfight, and it was. And you had to earn it, you know, and they had to earn their wins. We had to earn ours and stuff. But, no, I think it's going to be a series that we'll look back upon, think a good series win, and because that is a regional caliber team, no doubt.
Yeah, one of those pitching duel type games Friday night. Weather was perfect. The atmosphere was phenomenal. And you had really good baseball. You win the Friday night game 4-3. And Nico Mazza is, of course, the Friday night starter. He goes 6 innings, just 7 hits, no walks, 7 strikeouts. And then I thought the story of the night was Cross Sibley, who struggled in the opening weekend. And he's the first guy you go to in the bullpen on Friday night with the game on the line. And he goes 2 2/3 inning, did not allow a run, 1 hit. He was really outstanding. And I know when he left the field Friday night, he felt a lot better than his first appearance, correct?
No doubt. And that's what I told him that night when I went out there, you know, to get the ball from him. And, that last out of the game, I felt compelled to do a matchup thing with a righty anyway. But I told him, say, walk off this mound with your head held high, man. You know, that was a great job. And just real proud of Cross for your staying positive and staying ready, and because he was disappointed that he wasn't starting, you know. And I said, hey man, you're gonna pitch on Friday, be ready. So he was, and he had a great performance that, you know, helped us win that game.
Yeah, he was really good. I think everybody in the stadium felt good for him. Saturday rolls around, and that was a really great win Friday night. Saturday rolls around, it's another tough game, and it was good baseball this weekend. Missouri State gets us 3-1. Billy Odom pitches four innings, allows four hits. Unusual that he walked a few, and he did strike out five. No decision. You went pretty early to the pen, and I just thought Billy, and I'm not making any excuses, but I thought he just got squeezed horribly by the home plate umpire.
You know, I rarely complain too much about the umpire zones. I mean, they're going to make some calls that you like and don't like, but I thought consistently that was a tough zone in both ways, and I think that's why you saw as many walks as you saw on both sides. Billy doesn't do that, and you know, and a couple of his that he got called walks on, look back at it, I'm going, well, that was a strike. Well, that should have been a strike, and it can just change things so much. So, yeah, I mean, we call that a hitter zone that day, and, you know, pitchers, it's a little bit harder, you know, to get some of those calls, but not making any excuses. If the zone's that way, then we got to throw it where he's calling it. You know, that's what we tell him. So, but he, you know, he competed, man, and he wiggled out of some jams and kept it close. He gave us a shot.
Yeah, he's a great pitcher. It was a great moment in the game, Coach, when you call timeout, gather your team up, and you stand there, and you make the home plate umpire come to the pitcher's mound, and then I think you exchanged a pleasantry or two with him as you were leaving. But that was all intentional. Is that right, Coach?
Well, you know, sometimes you gotta you know, stand up for your guys, and when you feel like, you know, it's not, you're not going to be, you know, classless or unethical or whatever. I mean, you're not going to do anything disrespectfully, but we have a right to be able to voice our frustrations a little bit if it's done the right way, and that's what I try to do because I really want my guys to know they got their backs.
Yeah, it was a great moment. So we drop that one, and then we come back for another great game on Sunday afternoon. And I'll tell you what, man, it was just the whole weekend was just super competitive. And that was a great baseball game yesterday, wasn't it, Coach?
It was. It was, you know, what I called to the team, I told them it was big boy baseball. I mean, this is what it takes to win a regional. This is what it takes to win a conference championship, to win a series, you know, in conference, whatever. I mean, it was that was a type feel, atmosphere, grind, whatever you want to call it. That you know, it's fun. It's fun being a part of it, but it should be a pretty good building block for you when you can come through and win those kind of games.
Stunning statistic out of the game Sunday that I know puts a smile on your face: 17 strikeouts and one walk.
Yeah, I like that. That's it does. You know me well enough by now, but. No, I mean, I was just so proud of our guys, man. They're going to compete when they get on the mound, and I know that. And you know, we're finding good rhythm, and you know, so that's just very proud of it. I don't take it for granted, and I tell them the same thing: don't put your guard down, don't exhale, don't think it's done, don't think it's easy, you know, because baseball will come back and get you. So just got to keep doing what they've been doing.
Yeah, and great relief. Sunday afternoon as well, and I thought J.B. Middleton looked pretty electric there at the end, and Chase Adams, McCarty English, all those kids doing a great job. Kelly Sanders sitting here with me. He predicted back in the summer this was going to be an enormously talented pitching staff. Kelly, I think your prediction's coming true.
One walk, though. We got to tighten up.
No kidding. I agree. I don't like that.
When I'm interested, Coach, in pregame planning, particularly when it comes to the pitching staff, do you guys traditionally have a, you know, first guy in, second guy in, or is it strictly situations as they present themselves? Can you kind of teach us a little bit?
I mean, there's some preconceived, you know, thoughts that that you kind of go with in your mind based on who you have available. Sometimes it's matchups, you know, this lineup that we faced, it kind of screened the lefty to use a lefty, you know, right. And we tried to do that each time, went from our starter to a lefty, starter to all three times. And, you know, and it worked really well twice and allowed you to get deeper in the game. But, you know, like yesterday, I knew I had McCarty, I had JB, and I had Landon Payne on the back end fresh, ready to go. So I knew once I got to that seventh, I'm stacking them up. And, you know, and just let him go. And when I felt like I had to make the change, I did. And had landed down there ready if JB needed help. So it was a good luxury to have. And that was all that was all happened because Kobe Allen covered what he did out of the bullpen for us on Saturday.
Yeah, and some of these names, you know, are going to be names that fans are going to have to get used to, names
yeah,
they haven't heard to this point. But offensively, I wanted to ask, you know, is there a point in the season where you anticipate kind of having a solid set lineup, or do you constantly think it'll be in motion, so to speak?
Well, I mean, I'd love for it to be. I'd love to be able to, you know, do that. But, you know, you got to use the cards that you have. And, you know, this might be a team that can have different looks based on it's a lefty we're facing, it's a righty we're facing, and stuff like that. So, you know, I don't think you ever look at it to where it has to be one, you know, cookie cutter way. You got to be willing to adapt and see and, you know, trust instincts maybe a little bit in matchups.
And I think when you look at that, though, both we've talked about how deep the pitching staff is, but I think sometimes that the subject that doesn't get brought up is they've got some flexibility.
It looks like
1 through 9 as well.
It looks like as much depth as I've seen in some time. We're talking to head baseball coach Christian Ostrander. Very short break, coach. 3 minutes. Get Luke involved in the conversation. Golden Eagles with a thrilling weekend series over Missouri State. And as Coach is going to tell us on the other side of the break, folks, it don't get any easier this weekend. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, Campus Bookmart, campusbookmart.net sponsors this segment of the show. Took my granddaughter in there, Kelly, Saturday morning. She's in town. She had to have a baseball shirt, and of course, she goes straight to the $70 jerseys. Bypasses all the $20 t-shirts, straight to the Eagle jersey. And well, you just saw her. You see what she's had taken it off since she got
She's learning well and early.
She certainly is. All right, Coach Christian Ostrander on the show with us after a great weekend of baseball here in Hattiesburg. Luke, jump in the conversation.
Coach, you know, Davis Gillespie was talked about preseason, and he started off a little slow. Man, he responded well yesterday. He and Billy Butler, 5 of 7 in that 4 and 5 hole. Talk about what they did yesterday.
You know, we needed it. And, you know, and I knew, you know, Saturday night when I'm home kind of trying to solve this stuff, figure it out in my head, I knew I had to get those guys in there. And especially, you know, with the screaming of lefty that started against us. But no, man, I was so proud of those two guys. Billy staying very patient and waiting. And then Davis, you know, he's been in and out a little bit, still keeping himself ready. So, you know, it's early, and, you know, it's good to see those things, and we just got to keep moving forward.
I thought a huge at-bat yesterday. Of course, it was the difference in the game. Seth Smith's double. What does it make you feel like as a coach when you see a freshman in that type of opportunity come through with a huge hit in that way?
Well, you know, honestly, I'm not surprised. That's what we believe. Now, you know, I'm not saying I expect that every time, but, I mean – I know his capabilities. I know he's a good ball player, and he's just going to grow and get better every pitch he sees and stuff. So, but no, he stands in there not quite like a freshman sometimes, and extremely happy for Seth and his involvement and where he's at and what he's doing and all that stuff. And, you know, he's had a couple big hits now.
I want to go back to the rotation because it was, and I think it was Missouri State's approach. Bob hinted at, you know, Billy got the zone squeeze, but the pitch count got up on all three of your starters. Was that just Missouri State's approach over the weekend or something you've got to watch, you know, going into next weekend?
No, I think it was the way we needed to pitch them and their approach. I mean, that was a really, really good lineup. I know I feel like we really did a good job of controlling them for the most part. You know, I think we'll look back on it and see that a lot of folks had a hard time doing that. So what I mean by that, when it's a long, older lineup with some experience, the time you get to that third time around, you know, which is usually that fourth inning or something like that. They're making it pretty tough, you know, and stuff. So I think, you know, they credit them for making it hard on us, making us have to really execute good pitches. And they didn't get out of the zone too much. And so they did a good job.
Last question for me. Throw it back to Bob and Kelly. Tell us about what it was like seeing Chandler Best start last Wednesday night.
It was great to see him back out there, man. I wish it would have been a fairy tale ending, you know, that he goes out there and throws a, you know, five innings, no hit ball or whatever. But, you know, and I told him, said, hey, this is a huge positive being out there. And it's been a while. Enjoy it. I thought you moved good. I thought I was right. Maybe we're missing just a little bit, but be ready for your next one. And we'll see him out there tomorrow at some point, no doubt. So, you know, look forward to that.
Coach, I've observed two things, and you feel free to correct me if my observations are incorrect. A is that you don't have much tolerance for relief pitchers coming into games and walking batters.
No. I don't. You know, I was a reliever back in the day, part of my career in college. I started some, and I relieved, and I knew your job is to come in and throw strikes. If they're going to beat you, they got to swing it. And, yeah, there's zero tolerance for that. And that's why, you know, and I think we have a staff built the way where I can have, you know, one guy goes in, I got somebody else up there. If they stumble, boom, he's ready, you know, and right. And just try to find that, you know, keep it where it needs to be.
Yeah, I made a comment to J.B. Middleton yesterday. I said, Coach don't like walks, does he? And he grinned and started shaking that head. No, he does not like walks.
And see, the fact that you've got all those guys that are so good,
I'm
competition,
telling you,
even amongst
good.
Yourself with a group of guys that you love, makes you
right.
better.
Second observation, and I heard some people saying this around me this weekend too, Coach, is that you're just not afraid to make changes. And I think that a great example is we don't hit the ball well Saturday. You bring in some new kids in the lineup Sunday, and as Luke rightly pointed out, Billy Butler and David Gillespie go, what, 5-for-7? And so you have the depth to do that too, don't you, Coach?
I think so. I mean, you know, it's so new. I mean, there's only three guys in the lineup between Fado, Wilkes, and Monastir that we kind of that's been there and know it. And if they're not, you know, hitting on all cylinders, you know, it really, you know, lengthens it out a little bit. And for me, it's just when it's so new, so many new faces and stuff, you got to give them opportunities. And I know that. And you know, and I'm not afraid to make changes or experiment here, or there, and whatever, because I knew it was going to take a little time to figure out the right formula. And, you know, it's we're 8 games into it. You know, played 8 games in 10 days, man. That was fun, but it was tiring for mm-hmm. sure. And, you know, so, but there's so much more, and I know we're going to learn more and more every time we step on the field. That's what's exciting.
Here's what we're seeing and hearing more about Southern Miss recruits, too. And in all the things we've talked about, I don't think this has ever been brought up, but let's go back to Dustin Dickerson. What do he and Seth Smith, Ozzie Pratt, they all have in common? And we're hearing more and more about this as, well, you know, his dad was a big leaguer, or his uncle played in the bigs. You know, there's that, the genetics involved. These guys are coming from profession, and we're seeing more and more Southern Miss, whose dad recruits and players, whose dads have that experience. And how, I don't know even the question I want to ask Coach Oz, but that certainly is an element that you're born into, but most of those guys wear with pride and don't disappoint.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it's coincidence, I'll be honest with you, Kelly. I mean, you know, it's not like you target a guy because his dad was a big leaguer or a professional player or whatnot. I think it's kind of but if you kind of look at that, and there is something there to it. Once you get them, you can tell the baseball IQ, the savviness, or the skill set, you know, and things like that might be, you know, might be a little different because of what they've been around, you know, in their life.
All right, Coach, got a game on the Gulf Coast tomorrow night against a team that's 7-1. I mean, I don't know what that means this early in the year. You got any idea who you'll throw tomorrow night? What do you expect from that opponent?
I got an idea. I'm not sure yet. We're fixing to get out of practice here in about an hour, and I'm going to look some guys in the eyes and make some decisions. But, you know, I feel like you're going to see a lot of arms tomorrow. So I would kind of prepare for that and stuff. And I like that. I need to get some work on some guys. There's still a few that I'd love to get in there. So anyway, we're going to go play to win the game and, for sure. And, I would anticipate there being multiple arms. The opponent we're playing, tremendous amount of respect for him, Nicholls State University. Mike Silva, head coach, a friend of mine, known years. Coach Rhodes coached with him the last few years. Coach Silva was at Louisiana Tech before going to Nicholls. A lot of respect, and he's going to have him ready. He's going to have him playing hard, and they're going to be ready for the challenge. I guarantee you. But so will we.
Coach, this is the truth, though, isn't it? With the success the program has had traditionally, but particularly in the last 3 or 4 years, everybody brings their best shot. Everybody's a little extra amped up when they play your guys, aren't they?
They are, and that's a compliment, and that's what we want. You know, I've said it many times, you know, put the bullseye on our chest, embrace it, and let's go. I mean, I wouldn't want it any other way. And if you're a true competitor, you would too. You know, I mean, that's everybody that wants to compete should want that, you know, bullseye right on their chest.
Right.
Anyway, looking forward to this weekend. Don't want to look over tomorrow night for sure, but we won't get to talk to you before. I mean, super regional team coming into Hattiesburg. If this past weekend wasn't, you know, just huge, this one is very huge. They beat Marshall twice this weekend.
It's opportunity, man. This is awesome. This is what we do. It's what we want. It's a marquee weekend on our schedule. Let's roll and just, you know, go out there and compete. And we got, you know, tomorrow's our first priority, but when the weekend gets here, you know, we'll be ready to go. And you know, this is our place, and they're coming in here, and we got a lot of pride in it, so it'll be a good matchup.
Kelly,
yeah, when he says I've got some arms, I want to get in. Wouldn't it be nice every year if you had about 12 guys that you could just throw a blanket over and pull out whoever?
We do.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It would be,
Coach.
Would be nice.
I meant to ask you this though. McCarty English got dinged by that ball on Saturday, mm-hmm. and then he came out yesterday and pitched like he did. I mean, he's okay, I assume.
Oh, yeah. He's fine, and he told me that night he was good. Then I said, well, come see me on Sunday morning, and he did. So, Coach, I'm great. I said, kind of laughing about it. So, all right, man, I believe you. Let's go.
He looked great.
Coach, yeah. Great weekend. Atmosphere was electric. You know, it'll be even more electric this weekend. There's no better place in the world to be in the Pete. And hey, I want to thank you for your time, and I want to thank you personally for the kindness you showed to my grandchild yesterday, Coach.
Oh, man, that was my honor. That was a pleasure to do that, so thank you, Bob. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Coach. Coach Christian Ostrander, everybody, head baseball coach. And, guys, I'm going to tell you something. He's off to a roaring start. This man's in command, and it's fun to watch him coach baseball.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that Oz was 10 times nicer to your grandchild than Sander is to his own children.
Absolutely.
Yeah, get off my payroll, kids.
We'll be back.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, I want to thank Coach Oz for joining us, first half of the show. This segment sponsored by Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net. And also want to say hello to our good friends at 4th Street Bar and Grill for all they do for Southern Miss and the Eagle Hour. All right, J.B. Middleton shut the weekend down yesterday. He's a young pitcher, relief pitcher from Yazoo City. A lot of velo and a lot of upside. Pitched very well to end the game yesterday. Had a brief conversation with him after the game. Here's how it went.
Coach Oz calls your number. Your thoughts when you go out on the mound, game on the line?
You know, it's, we prepare for it year round. Just relax your mind and go out there and compete and you know, stay ready and do your job whenever it's your time.
Tell us what happened last year. How did you break your foot last year?
Well, all my coaches would probably say it was because we were throwing a football and playing around before the game. But, you know, I guess you could say that's what it was from. And, you know, it was not fun to have to go through. But, you know, I think it made me better for it. And, you know, and I'm healed up, now ready to go.
All right, so Coach tells me that during the off season you go up and play in the Wood Bat League and really had a good year. How did that help you get ready for this year?
Definitely being up there on my own and figuring myself out, and, you know, still doing that to this day. But just gaining that experience and being up there with everybody else trying to do the same thing, and a lot of very good players up there, and you kind of learn how to compete. And it's definitely helped me so far, and I'm going to keep going.
All right, so you come here from Yazoo City. What's life been like at Southern Miss, and what's your reaction to playing in front of crowds like this and the Southern Miss fan base?
It's truly awesome. You know, it's a small town where I'm from, and coming here in front of these amazing fans that really care a lot about us, and the coaches and the players and everybody around here, it's just like family, and you know, it's like nothing's changed. You know, you just go from one family to another.
How good can this team be, JB?
You know, we have all the tools to be as good as we want to be, and we will be. You know, we're going to go to work every day just like we always do, and put our heads down and be competitive and play good ball.
Let me tell you what a fan.
All right, guys, that's J.B. Middleton out of Yazoo City. Luke, a lot of upside with this kid. You made a comment during the break that those three that closed out over the weekend, it's hard to find three better relief pitchers, and Middleton, I think, is going to be a big star here.
Yeah, Middleton's already struck out 10 batters in five innings. He's only given up one hit. The one run he gave up was unearned, so a 10-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio. You just look at the strikeout numbers. McCarty English, five strikeouts in five innings, and then Landon Payne, two strikeouts in two innings. And, you know, like you heard Oz say, I mean, it was going to be English, Middleton, and Payne. And they're all three different pitchers. I mean, English has almost like a little unorthodox delivery. And one thing I was listening yesterday with Kirkland and Jason Baker talking about is that his flexibility, he's only 6'1", but his release point is like, you remember with Walker Powell, because he was so tall, his release point actually, in as the ball, you know, perceives, when you perceive it coming to you, it actually appears much faster. And Slade Wilkes had been talking to Jason Baker and talked about how English's ball gets on you so much quicker. And he was hitting, you know, 93, 94. And then Middleton's gas gets in there. And then Payne with that 90 to 91 cutter. I mean, you want to talk about a bunch of different types of pitchers, and they all have different types of pitches, and you feel like Ostrander just has a full set of tools, where in the past we had to go to one guy and we would ride him, you know. And then you look at the Super last year, we had to burn Justin Thorman because of the weather delay, and you just feel like going into conference play and postseason play this year, they're going to have so many guys that can get people out in high-pressure situations. You feel really good about the back end of this bullpen.
Kelly, put this in perspective. How tough is this on a hitter? You see this with Middleton yesterday. 94, 95, 94, and then 78.
Well, yeah, the strategy is you read fastball and adjust for the change. But when you say the change, I mean, you know the fastball, when he's been sitting 94, 93, 94, you know what the fastball is coming at. But a changeup can be 76 miles an hour. It could be 81 miles an hour. I mean,
it depends. Tough,
oh, it's a huge guessing game. And really, something else I think that needs to be pointed out, when you look at this Southern Miss roster, it's still, is it fair to say that it's still a pretty young roster?
Oh, it's really young.
Yeah, so the fact that these guys are maturing, playing good baseball against good teams at this age, I mean, in the 40 or some years that I've been covering Southern Miss athletics, I don't think any program long-term has been set up like this baseball program has. And health aside, you know, you never know what injuries are going to bring. But, man, it looks like the cupboard's, you know, the pantry's pretty full for years to come.
And you made the comment to me this morning, which I think maybe Saturday night some of the internet warriors lost sight of. They were playing a top-caliber Division I baseball team in Missouri State.
Yeah, and it used to be, you know, what, Southeastern Missouri State or whatever it was, and they evolved to Missouri State. But because I think there's the natural assumption by folks that don't follow it closely that any team north of the Mason-Dixon line probably isn't very good Wrong.
And these sycamores. Their hitting approach, especially that freshman, the 6 foot six Stewart, I think that was his name. They had a MS quality program, quality coach. They've made the College World Series. Hey, going back to the depth part of it, you sit your home run leader from last year, and his replacement goes 2 for 3 and scores 2 runs yesterday. Now, that was Billy Butler's first action of the year. So going forward, here's the logjam. You've either got to play McIntyre and Wilkes, or Butler or Gillespie, or a mixture of those four. Two of those four most likely will not be playing at the same time in the lineup. And that's what's just wild to me. I think we're all probably right now, Seth Smith deserves the second base spot right now because of what he's done. And the Golden Eagles played pretty good defense. They made 2 errors yesterday, but they were scot-free the rest of the weekend. But that's the challenge for Oz. Is I think Russo's got the edge at first. But when you're faced with a slap hitter, percentage speed with McIntyre, and then what are you going to do? Who's going to get left out? Is it Wilkes? Is it Gillespie? Is it Butler? Those are hard decisions for Ostrander going forward.
Yeah, Kelly identified Gillespie early in spring ball, and some players had told Kelly, this guy's a beast. Dude, he hit the top of the scoreboard with a home run this weekend. He's going to be a beast.
Well, somebody said if the scoreboard wasn't there, it might have shattered a windshield on 7th Street.
He smacked it, brother.
So it's a good problem to have as far as, you know, Coach Oz.
But, I mean, you look at what Billy Butler did, especially. I was more impressed with his single up the middle. The ball's in and high on his hands. He fought it off and muscled it in the center field. I mean, that is a dude with a ton of at-bats in his college career. And, man, it's decisions and depth and talent everywhere.
And here's something else I think that needs to be underlined 3 times with Billy Butler and Coach Ostrander. Paraphrasing here just from a few moments ago, he said Billy was waiting his turn.
Right.
Waiting his turn. He didn't have his parents calling the coach saying, how come my kid's not playing?
Right.
You know, or whatever. Waited his turn. Then when he was called upon, he delivered. That's what team sports are all about.
Interesting. I saw people on the internet wildly complaining over the weekend that he's not on the field, and yet the kid himself, and you just heard it from the coach, is a team player, waits my turn. When I get my call, I'll come help the team.
And did he?
Yes.
Yes, he did. So, lesson to be learned there for a lot of people.
Wow.
Yep. About a minute and a half. We can talk more about it fourth segment. What a big win for men's basketball Saturday night, guys.
It was, because Louisiana is one of those teams. Now, look, they're still going to need some help because Arkansas State has caught fire now. And Arkansas State currently sits in that four hole for the fourth, you know, the four seed at the tournament, but they now have that Coastal Carolina App State trip to make. Arkansas State does this weekend. So if you're a Southern Miss fan, you certainly want App State to take care of business and knock off Arkansas State. And, you know, it's not likely that Coastal would knock them off, but they're on the road. You never know. And then the Eagles have got those two, and South Al did it again, didn't they?
I got two observations about Saturday. I was just so happy to see Jay Ladner and happy to see him there saying goodbye to his seniors and recovering every day. And I want to start every game the rest of the year with Tate Ryder hitting a three. How I want to start.
He's the secret weapon, isn't he, Tate Ryder?
That's what I want to see. Every game, Tate does not come out till he hits the first tray. Yeah, that was awesome.
And he and Jeff Armstrong are roommates. You know, so you got two guys.
He's the kid that started out as a trainer on the team. You realize that, Tate Ryder?
I did not realize that.
And Coach Ladner gives him a scholarship, and he's a huge team player. Great, great kid. And it just warmed my heart to see him do that.
Yeah, him and Armstrong are kind of cut off that same pattern.
They're both wonderful kids. Yeah. All right, when we come back, a little more about basketball and a preview of everything coming your way this week on the Eagle Hour.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment on a Monday brought to you by DBAT in Hattiesburg. DBATHattiesburg.com. Softball, baseball, it's all there at DBAT. Luke, Bob, and Kelly from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. And Laurel, rundown over the weekend. Softball goes 1-4. They drop contests to Southern Indiana, Jacksonville State, Belmont, and Sanford. Rebound yesterday with a season-high 13 hits over Southern Indiana. They win 7-1, 5-8 on the year, and they will head to Starkville on Thursday to take on the Lady Bulldogs of Mississippi State. Men's tennis Friday wins 4-3 over Jackson State. Women's also blanks Jackson State 4-0. Then they were shut out yesterday by Lamar 4-0. Beach volleyball gets underway. Lady Eagles split two matches each on the sand. They lose to Florida Gulf Coast and Stetson, who was nationally ranked, as well as defeating Eckerd and Mercer over the weekend. Coach Brasher and men's golf, did you guys see where they are this weekend?
They're in Puerto Rico?
They are, yeah. They are at the Dorado Beach Collegiate. And so what that means is they are actually, yeah, they are in Puerto Rico in 11th place right now. Robbie Ladder shot a first-round 69. Ryan Dupuis shot a first-round 71. Enjoy yourselves down there, guys.
I'll tell you
live
what.
Scoring available on southernmiss.com.
You get down there, Luke, you better be able to play the wind. And I'm sure that's one of the reasons Coach Brasher, you know, maybe wanted them to get exposure to that, because you play in any of those island courses, and holy cow, that wind gets howling 25 and 30 miles an hour regularly.
It's wild. Lady Eagles on the hardwood defeat Arkansas State 70-59 on the road. Lady Eagles outscore Arkansas State in the second half. Dom Davis with 19, Ja'Cora Bracey with 12, and Morgan Sieper, Bracey had 17, Morgan Sieper with 12 points. Sunbelt baseball over the weekend. App State swept Siena. Rutgers took 2 of 3 from Old Dominion. James Madison took 3 games from Fairfield. Marshall played Indiana State, the Golden Eagles opponent this weekend, and Michigan State in 4 games. They beat Michigan State and lost to Michigan State, and then lost both to Indiana State. Coastal Carolina puts up 54 runs against Illinois, Ball State, and Cincinnati. They win all 3 of those games. Georgia State loses 2 of 3 to Seton Hall. Georgia Southern took 1 at Duty Noble Field, but Mississippi State defeated them in the other 2 games. Texas State lost 2 games to Kansas and Kentucky, and also won another game. Troy sweeps Harvard. Rice takes 2 out of 3 of the Raging Cajuns in Lafayette. ULM drops 2 of 3 to Murray State in Monroe. Arkansas State sweeps Lindenwood. And South Alabama takes 2 of 3 from Jackson State. And the Golden Eagles win another series, 2 of 3 from Missouri State.
Can someone tell me the team High Point defeated Ole Miss in a baseball game this weekend?
Let me tell you something about High Point. They're obviously located in High Point, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Division I school, beautiful facilities, lots mascot. Of money. Don't let that name, you know, don't let
pretty
that
good,
name.
Pretty
mascot.
Good.
Yeah, very good, because people were kind of picking on the Rebs this weekend. I said, now, be honest, how much do you know about college baseball? And they said, well, not a lot. I just haven't heard of High Point. High Point is another one of those Dallas Baptists.
Oh, okay.
You know, kind of deals where the name is not.
No, I wasn't making fun
he's,
of Ole
he's
Miss.
Buying time, Getty. He's buying time. I asked mascot 3 times.
What is
he
the
hasn't
mascot,
given me an
Kelly?
Answer yet.
For High Point?
Yeah.
That I don't know.
What?
I can tell you what Stetson's. What? The Stetson's.
We didn't ask about Stetson. We asked about High Point.
Well, Stetson is the Hatters.
The
What's
mascot,
that got to do with High Point?
The mascot is Prowler the Panther. So they're the Panthers.
Okay.
The High Point Panthers.
I would have said the Reefers or the, you know, High Point, you know.
I'll get that now, Kelly.
The Fighting Reefers.
Yeah,
from
the Fighting
High
Reefers.
Point.
That would have been Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah.
That would have been his nickname or his team, huh? Okay, so basketball, still this week, going to be doing some basketball interviews this afternoon. You know, a great career is about to end. Dominic Davis is, down to 3 regular season games. And Luke, she'll go down as one of probably the top 10 women players here of all time, right?
Who, Dom?
Yeah.
I think Dom's a top 5.
Could be, yeah.
Just because
could be.
Of just because of the scoring average, and you're talking about, you know, player, you know, the all-conference player and what she's done, and You know, I mean, I think it's not just what you do with your team or when you're on the court. I think in a lot of ways, you know, what the team's like without her. And I mean, they have played well without her, but she's one of those that when she's in there, it changes everything.
And you guys, we got road trips this weekend, you know, for the men and the women. Then they end the regular season. Believe it or not, the Sun Belt Conference tournament begins a week from tomorrow. The postseason tournament begins a week from tomorrow in Pensacola. And, of course, we'll have all the coverage for you. Tomorrow on the program, men's assistant coach Zay Carson will be joining us just prior to their final road trip of the year, which will take them to Mobile and San Marcos.
Yeah, we got good guests lined up all week. Going to have player interviews throughout the week. I think Kelly's going to try to grab a couple of the guys. I'll handle the women's team. We'll have some more baseball to report on. Big game tomorrow night. Going to be fun. Man, it's a great time of the year. Postseason basketball and the Golden Eagle baseball machine is open.
And the football team begins spring training tomorrow.
Well, we're going to have to find Coach Hall, or he'll probably find us, and talk about spring football. And we'll look forward to that conversation as well. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.